He put the bottle down on the table a little harder than he meant to, so that it slopped over onto the table. No one took any notice. Then a burst of fire in midair illuminated the dirty plates in front of them, and as they gave cries of shock, a scroll of parchment fell with a thud onto the table, accompanied by a single golden phoenix tail feather.
"Fawkes!" said Sirius at once, snatching up the parchment. "That's not Dumbledore's writing. It must be a message from your mother. Here!"
He thrust the letter into George's hand, who ripped it open and read aloud, "Dad is still alive. I am setting out for St. Mungo's now. Stay where you are. I will send news as soon as I can. Mum." George looked around the table.
"Still alive," he said slowly. "But that makes it sound..."
He did not need to finish the sentence. It sounded to Harry, too, as though Mr. Weasley was hovering somewhere between life and death. Still exceptionally pale, Ron stared at the back of his mother's letter, as though it might speak words of comfort to him. Fred pulled the parchment out of George's hands and read it for himself, then looked up at Harry, who felt his hands shaking on his butterbeer bottle again, and clenched it more tightly to stop the trembling. If Harry had ever sat through a longer night than this one, he could not remember it. Sirius suggested once that they all go to bed, but without any real conviction. And the Weasleys' looks of disgust were answer enough. They mostly sat in silence around the table, watching the candle wick sinking lower and lower into liquid wax, now and then raising bottles to their lips, speaking only to check the time, to wonder aloud what was happening, and to reassure one another that if there was bad news, they would know straight away, for Mrs. Weasley must long since have arrived at St. Mungo's. Fred fell into a doze, his head sagging sideways onto his shoulder. Ginny was curled like a cat on her chair, but her eyes were open. Harry could see them reflecting the firelight. Ron was sitting with his head in his hands. Whether awake or asleep, it was impossible to tell. And he and Sirius looked at each other every so often, intruders upon the family grief, waiting, waiting. And then, at 5:10 in the morning by Ron's watch, the kitchen door swung open and Mrs. Weasley entered the kitchen. She was extremely pale, but when they all turned to look at her, Fred, Ron and Harry, half rising from their chairs, she gave a wan smile.
"He's going to be all right," she said, her voice weak with tiredness. "He's sleeping. We can all go and see him later. Bill's sitting with him now. He's going to take the morning off work."
Fred fell back into his chair with his hands over his face. George and Ginny got up, walked swiftly over to their mother and hugged her. Ron gave a very shaky laugh and downed the rest of his butterbeer in one.
"Breakfast!" said Sirius loudly and joyfully, jumping to his feet. "Where's that accursed house elf? Creature! Creature!"
But Creature did not answer the summons.
"Oh, forget it then,"
muttered Sirius, counting the people in front of him.
"So it's breakfast for, let's see, 7 bacon and eggs, I think, and some tea and toast."
Harry hurried over to the stove to help. He did not want to intrude upon the Weasley's happiness, and he dreaded the moment when Mrs. Weasley would ask him to recount his vision. However, he had barely taken plates from the dresser when Mrs. Weasley lifted them out of his hands and pulled him into a hug.
"I don't know what would have happened if it hadn't been for you, Harry," she said in a muffled voice. "They might not have found Arthur for hours, and then it would have been too late, but thanks to you, he's alive. And Dumbledore's been able to think up a good cover story for Arthur being where he was. You've no idea what trouble he would have been in otherwise. Look at poor Sturgis."
Harry could hardly stand her gratitude, but fortunately she soon released him to turn to Sirius and thank him for looking after her children through the night. Sirius said that he was very pleased to have been able to help and hoped they would all stay with him as long as Mr. Weasley was in the hospital.
"Oh, Sirius, I'm so grateful. They think he'll be there a little while and it would be wonderful to be nearer. Of course, that might mean we're here for Christmas."
"The more the merrier,"
said Sirius with such obvious sincerity that Mrs. Weasley beamed at him, threw on an apron and began to help with breakfast.
"Sirius," Harry muttered, unable to stand it a moment longer. "Can I have a quick word, now?"